Today on More to Life, set free. Struggling with guilt or self-doubt about the decisions that you're making? Not sure what the right thing to do is? We'll help you break free. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we are setting you free from all that guilt and self-doubt and tendency to question yourself when you are making those decisions. You know, it's hard to know what the right thing to do is, especially in those complicated life and relationship decisions. Well, we are helping you clear the board so that you can get a good sense of what God is asking you to do, how you can be confident in the decisions that you're making, and feel good moving forward, knowing that you are doing what God's asking you to do in that challenging life or relationship situation. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, what are those situations that cause you to second-guess yourself? You know, are you having a hard time feeling confident about your decisions in your life or relationships? Do you tend to doubt yourself or even feel guilty about the choices you make after the fact? We are here to help you cultivate confidence and move forward in the joy of the Lord. 877-573-7825.
So whether you're struggling with knowing the right path in your life, the decisions you need to make, how to handle a situation, how to deal with a person, or you find yourself at least internally sort of going back over old life choices, old pathways, things you said to people, choices you made, and you're just sort of dealing with either the struggle of, oh, if I just hadn't done that, or how do I correct this now, or the guilt of feeling like maybe you chose something that wasn't the right path for you. If you're just muddled up in things like that right now, we're here to help you through it today on More to Life. You can give us a call at 877-573-7825, or if you're dealing with somebody who is struggling with those things, you know, that person in your life who keeps going back to those things and saying, what if this, what if I had chosen that, or I can't really move ahead because I just don't know what to do, and you're thinking, how do I help them? How do I help them through this? How do I advise them? How do I be there for them without letting them just keep going over and over it with me and getting stuck even more in the mud? We're here to help you help them as well on More to Life today. 877-573-7825.
You know, a big part of what gets us in that place where we're second-guessing ourselves, giving into those doubts, or even picking on ourselves after the fact, comes down to the fact that sometimes we make a choice, and either things don't go as smoothly as we hoped that they would, which makes us think we must have screwed up somehow, or people are unhappy with us. And then we chase our tails trying to figure out, how can I make everybody happy? You know, it's hard in our sinful, broken world to know what the right thing to do is. And it's hard to feel confident about the choices that we make, and in fact, easy to get lost in the forest for all the trees. But the theology of the body reminds us that the best way to feel confident about the choices we make is to remember the big picture and not get so caught up in the moment that we forget that the most important thing in any decision is, as St. John Paul put it, quote unquote, one must arrange one's life so that everything praises God. You know, the key to feeling confident about our decisions isn't asking, how can I make everybody happy here? Or even, how can I make sure to get the smoothest path? But rather, how can I respond to this situation in a way that helps me become the person God wants me to be? You know, for the Christian, confidence in our choices and decisions comes from knowing that we're pleasing God, even when the rest of the world is less than happy with us, or things aren't quite working out as smoothly as we wished they would. That said, you know, that's one of those things that's easier said than done. So we are here to help you gain that confidence, gain that sense of vision that allows you to approach the challenging circumstances of your life and relationships with real confidence, knowing that you're doing the right thing, even when other people aren't so happy with you or things aren't going quite the way you hoped. 877-573-7825. Again, that's number 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you and we thank you for being the way that leads us to everlasting life. In everything that we do, in all the decisions that we face, we long to do the right thing. But Lord, sometimes we put so much focus on our own power and put so many expectations on ourselves to be perfect that we forget to trust in your mercy. We start being so concerned with making the one right choice that we forget that all you ask of us is to make the best choice that we can, the choice that allows us to draw closer to you and to become more of the person you're calling us to be. So help us to change our focus. Help us, Lord, in the face of these decisions we must make in the complicated life and relationship circumstances that we face, help us to first of all be confirmed in your love so that we know that as long as we are trying to please you, you will be pleased with us. And secondly, help us always to lean into the person that you are creating us to be in every choice that we make. Help us to use every challenge, every decision, every opportunity to make one more step toward fulfilling that vision in our lives of becoming the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person you created us to be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, Set Free, we're talking about those decisions or choices that you have to make, that those problems you need to respond to, that you're just not sure what the right thing to do is, you know, and you're struggling with some self-doubt, second-guessing, maybe you've made the decision and now you're picking on yourself for it, feeling guilty about it. We want to help you get that clarity that you need in whatever you're facing to know what the right thing to do is and how to keep building on it, so that you can get writer and writer as time goes by. 877-573-7825. Hey, I want to, first of all, share some information, but also ask for some prayers.
We do need some prayers.
We're heading to Fargo, North Dakota tomorrow. We'll be on the air, but we're heading out right after the show. And we are going to be speaking at the Redeemed 2018 conference in the Diocese of Fargo. So check that out. If you're in the Fargo area, go to fargodiocese.org to learn more about the details there. Really looking forward to it. Please keep us in your prayers, though. I'm getting a sinus infection. My wife's been a mess since her dental surgery last week. Satan's kind of gunning for us. So just pray that we get there in one piece.
I can't imagine what we could have to say in Fargo that would make him go after us like this, but this is going to be...
But I think it's going to be good, because...
We'll be fine speaking, but it's going to be good. But the travel part's going to be a little, you know, altitude with what the two of us are going through right now is going to be a little tough. So please pray for traveling mercies and good health for both of us.
But if you happen to be in that area, the Fargo area, come check us out this weekend on Saturday, April 7th, for the Redeemed 2018 conference. And while I'm talking about this, we're going to be in the Diocese of Ogdensburg, New York, up in upstate New York next week. So check that out. If you happen to be in that area, you can go to rcdony.org to learn more about that event, the Family Life Conference in Ogdensburg. But right now we are talking with you on Mortal Life about getting out of your own way when it comes to the decisions you have to make about your life, your relationships. How can you feel confident and stop giving into that temptation to second-guess yourself or give into self-doubt and even guilt about the decisions that you've made? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Christopher, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Denver, Colorado.
Hey, Christopher. Welcome to Word of Life. What's your question for us?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'll make this brief as I can. Just that I am 38 years old, and about half of those years I spent not knowing God. And just because of the kind of person that I am and the kind of connections that I made in the first half of my life, I have heard a lot of people, and I live the kind of life that left just a trail of pain and misery behind me. And most of the people who I have sinned against through fault of my own, for whatever reason, have dropped out of the radar. You know, I moved around a lot when I was a child. I simply can't connect with most of these people anymore. Listening to Catholic Answers Radio a while back, somebody asked if St. Paul ever had to atone for the people whose deaths he was responsible for, and I can't remember who the host was, but they said, you know, yes, absolutely, because of how he was stoned, because of how he suffered for the name of Christ, and he was surely reconciled to those people. I don't have that opportunity. And I find it really hamstrings me when I'm trying to make decisions about my life and about how I live out my faith, because I can't really see myself as anything other than a person who has caused a lot of pain, a person at whose responsibility people are dealing with pain and suffering right now, who I can't reach. So I kind of wanted to know if from your perspective you had any words to say to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely we do. Now, let me ask you a question, Christopher, because I was going in one direction in my head, but something kind of came as a bump in the road for me here as you were talking. You say, I can't see myself as anything but a man who has caused a lot of pain to people. Have you taken this to the Sacrament of Reconciliation?
I have, to the best of my knowledge, and we're talking about, you know, 2 decades of knowledge here, everything, I've laid it all out in the sacrament, you know, that's, I understand conceptually that has an effect on my soul, that God's not holding that against me, but, you know, I understand that God is the chief recipient of my sinful actions, but there's other human beings out there too who are hurting me, who I've not had the opportunity to have that same kind of closure with as I have with
absolutely
Christ.
I understand what you're saying, and we're going to address this, but just on a spiritual level, I really want you to take the rest of this week. This coming Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday, and I want you to spend some time in prayer every single day for the rest of this week, saying, Lord, let me see myself with the eyes that you see me with your divine mercy.
Through your eyes of love.
Through your eyes of love, through your eyes of divine mercy, give me that vision. Now, that doesn't mean that you just say, well, then everything I did didn't matter. But what it says is, it's redeemed through Christ. And he wants you so much to see yourself through his eyes, and give you the power to go on and do great things because you can see that, rather than being held back in the muck and mire of seeing yourself with the eyes of Satan, who's saying, well, you can never get over it. No matter what Jesus did, you can never get over this. That's a lie from Satan.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the instinct that you've got, that there's something to do, there's healing to be done both to yourself and to the body of Christ for the sins you've committed in the past, is a good instinct. But I think that you're also kind of falling into a little bit of scrupulosity, where you're feeling like, you know, God can't forgive me for this, or that if he does forgive me, it's only in some abstract intellectual sort of way. So the first step in trying to get through this and really responding to it in a graceful way is doing exactly what Lisa said, and really spending some time this Divine Mercy weekend. Get a notebook. Write down all the ways that you know that God loves you, not in spite of your brokenness, but even in the middle of your brokenness. All the ways that God has shown you that he loves you, even when you were sinning. All the ways that God reached out to you, even when you were living that life. And how he's brought you to this place through his mercy. And how he's brought you to this place through his love. So that's step one. The next step, though, is you know, when we can't go back and fix the things that we've done in the past or heal those relationships that we've hurt, or those people that we've hurt in the past, the other way that we make restitution, if you will, is by learning from those mistakes. You know, by saying, I'm not going to let those mistakes go to waste. God uses everything. He doesn't let any part of our lives go to waste. Even the mistakes and sins we've committed in the past are productive. And by learning from those and saying, how do I need to approach the people in my life now, so that not only do I not repeat those mistakes, I actually lean into the virtues that would allow me to never go back there again. How can I make sure that I approach the people in my life, the decisions I have to make, in a way that allows me to benefit from the wisdom I've gained from those mistakes I've made in the past, and really focusing on the future from here. The thing is, you know, when we beat up on ourselves for not being perfect, we're kind of falling into what's called Pelagianism, the idea that somehow I'm supposed to save myself. The Christian isn't called to be perfect. The Christian is called to be perfected through Christ's love. And in order to do that, we need to realize that we're powerless. We can't do anything right. We are hopelessly broken, despite our best intentions. And we can make peace with that and say, you know what? I'm doing the best that I can, but the best that I can is always going to fall short of the mark. I'm always going to make mistakes. The mistakes I've made in the past might be worse than the ones I've made now, but I'm always screwing up somehow. It's only through God's mercy and love that I'm able to be anything. And I can rejoice in that. It's because God's power is made perfect in my weakness, as St. Paul put it. So, number one, spend time this weekend really reflecting on how God has shown his love for you throughout the years, and even now. Write down specific examples and praise him for it. Number two, really look at your relationships now and say, what do I need to do? How can I make sure that I'm not just not repeating those mistakes, but I'm actually leaning into the virtues that would allow me to live the exact opposite of what I've had in the past in those relationships and the choices that I'm making. And the third thing I want you to do is I want you to pick up a book called Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, which I think is going to really reorient your whole perspective on the sins that you've committed in the past and how God wants you to move forward in his love, mercy, and confidence. It's a book that takes a look at how God is reaching out to us through the parts of ourselves that we even hate the most, and how we can begin to experience his love by identifying the divine longings behind those old broken sins and all those broken parts of ourselves, and begin to love ourselves as he loves us. Again, that's Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. I think it's a great book to read this weekend for Divine Mercy Weekend, and it's going to speak exactly to the question that you've raised here today. Christopher, I hope this gets you started. And if there's more we can do for you, once you've checked out the book at CatholicCounselors.com or EWTN Religious Catalog, don't hesitate to call us back here again. And again, that title, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. We have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with you about those tendencies you might have to doubt yourself, second guess decisions that you've made, those times when you're not sure about what to do in the first place and you're sort of chasing your tail because you're terrified about not getting the right answer here in the situation. How can you get past all that to be confident and know what God's calling you to and feel good about those decisions? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll also be joined by Damon Owens of joytob.org. He's going to talk to us about how to make sure that our consciences are formed properly. But right now it's time for a More to Life hack for cultivating that confidence and stopping second-guessing yourself. And the first hack is check your aim.
When it's hard to feel confident about knowing the right choice to make or the right thing to do, make sure you're aiming at the right target. Don't focus so much on what's going to make everyone happy with me, because that's not going to happen. Instead, refocus the question on how I can use this situation as an opportunity to grow into the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person that God wants me to be.
And when you use that as your reference point, you can feel confident about your choices, because whether other people are happy with you or not, or whether other things turn out as smoothly as you'd like or not, you know that you're pleasing God, both with your intentions and your decisions. You know, most self-doubt, second-guessing, and false guilt comes from being afraid that other people might be disappointed in us. But their opinions matter a lot less than God's. In fact, in the words of St. John Vianney, let God and the angels be your public, end quote. You know, let's focus on pleasing them. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about those times when you do tend to second-guess yourself or feel even guilty about decisions that you've made in the past that you're not quite sure how to get beyond. Plus, Damon Owens of Joy TOB is going to talk to us about conscience formation, all that's coming up on More to Life after the break.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC. Deakin Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59, and in Dearborn, west of Telegraph. Deakin Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Deakin Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
What are the doctrines Catholics believe and why do we believe them? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews for more than a minute with the Catechism as I quiz the experts, top theologians, philosophers, and catechists to share the truths about our Catholic faith. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
I'm Lisa Popcheck, and you're listening to the best of More to Life. Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled Set Free. If you're struggling with guilt and self-doubt, we want to help you break free from that tendency to chase your tail. You know, if there are certain situations that cause you to second-guess yourself, if you're not sure what the right thing to do is, if you're not feeling confident about your decisions, or you tend to doubt yourself or even feel guilty about decisions you've made after the fact, we want to help you break free. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Damon Owens. He is the founder and president of JoyTOB.org, a great theology of the body ministry to help people live the lives that they were meant to live. Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Happy Easter. Good to be with you all.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, sir. So let's talk about what does the theology of the body have to say about forming our conscience, which, of course, is the thing that enables us to make good decisions and feel confident about our choices.
Yeah, you know what was beautiful about the theology of the body speaking to this is that beautiful word of integration, really making integers a whole number, making us whole again when we get these matters of conscience and morality. And fundamentally, we're back to the original story that we have this connection, this relation with God, a binding relation that's deep within our being that really it's prior to our actions, it's prior to our unique personality. It really is so fundamental, this intimate connection with God, that it even survived that massive break with God of original sin. And when we speak about conscience, it brings together this integrated whole, the reality that we act, that we are moved to act, and that we have a passion, you know, to act in a certain way. And at the very deep center of who we are, what John Paul II calls our ethos, the heart of man, it still remains this connection with God of a deep relation. That we don't create God, we're not a law unto ourselves, but we have a unique and unrepeatable connection with Him. So when we say conscience, we're talking about going back to that deep innermost part of us to have that conversation, literally that dialogue, a dia logos, a word between with God, so that we can have a unique encounter with the one true God. So we don't create law, we don't create what's good or evil, but we discern with God what is good, what is true, what is beautiful, and how ought we to act. So the guilt and the doubt are really good and bad. There's a doubt because we have this tendency to self-rely, to rely on ourselves. So a self-doubt is good in the sense that we should doubt ourselves, but it's bad in the sense that we should doubt what God will do for us. Same thing with guilt. It's the alarm bell that something's out of order, but it's not the separation from God. It's the call to come back to Him.
So in making our decisions, you know, we hear a lot about the primacy of conscience, and that's really true, but it has to go back to what you're saying. You know, respecting the primacy of conscience doesn't mean we get to do whatever we feel like doing. It's really about exactly what you're saying, uniting ourselves to God's will and really asking, you know, who is He asking us to be in this moment?
Yeah, so now to the formation of conscience, it's about our forming, our becoming more uniquely ourselves, both building in our relationship with God. So in that, there's things we must learn. We must learn more about God. We must learn more about His creation, the truth about what things are, in order for us to act in accord with it. So we form our conscience in our intellect, in what we grasp and what we know. We form our conscience in relationship by building our trust with God and the trust in the church that He's given us to continually form us before, during, and after these encounters and these choices. So the formation is primary, that we have to come to know the truth so that we can live in the truth. And once we have that relationship within our deeper being with God, there is nothing that is greater than that. That's why the church speaks so highly about the primacy of conscience. There's nothing higher than our personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Damon, thanks so much for being with us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you. And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about your terrific ministry and getting out there to speak in their area, go to joytob.org. That's joytob.org. When we come back, we're taking your calls about those tendencies to self-doubt, second-guess, or feel guilty about your decisions. Give us a call, and Word of Life continues.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent agent. Get Choice Insurance Agency, representing auto owners insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. Call Greg at Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200, who will protect you in that moment. Call 734-641-4200.
Old St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church in downtown Detroit in Greektown invites all to the monthly First Friday High Mass in the Tridentine form. Experience the authentic Catholic traditional Latin Mass, including the church's rich musical tradition of Gregorian chant and sacred polyphony. Please join them this Friday, September 7th at 7 p.m. Free and guarded parking in the church's lot and a reception in the parish center follows the Mass. For more details, visit oldstmarysdetroit.com. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com.
People talk without speaking. It's called nonverbal communication. But when you're too wrapped up on what you have to say, you might miss important nonverbal cues coming from other people who are part of the conversation. So here are some cues. Shifting feet or long, deep breaths, it could indicate that someone is having thoughts that they might want to share. They might be important. It's like knowing your kid has to go to the bathroom because they start doing the potty dance. So get to know those people in your social circle so you can read their nonverbal cues. It's important because it's a sign of respect and consideration. Your friends and family will feel valued and you will get to know them better, ultimately improving your relationships. So pay attention when people start to scratch their head or start looking down or fiddling with their fingers. Something may be going on and they may need you to stop talking and start listening to what they have to say. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
I'm Lisa Popcheck, and you're listening to the best of More to Life.
This is Dr. Greg Popcheck. In a recent study, psychologists studied a virtue long held dear by the Catholic faith, humility. Humility isn't about negative feelings toward yourself. Rather, the study found that humility is comprised of traits such as sincerity, honesty, and thoughtfulness. But a second group of traits revealed something more about humility, that humble people are curious, bright, logical, and aware. Humble people spend time learning from other people. And isn't that what the church has been teaching all along? That we require community to humbly arrive at holiness. Pride is an obsession with defining one's own path to fulfillment, hoarding one's gifts, and refusing to be open to learning from the experience of others. Humility, then, is the awareness that abundance can only be pursued by cooperating with others, sharing what one has with others, and learning from the experience of others. For more about developing healthy, virtuous habits that benefit your family and community, Visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about those difficult decisions in your life or relationships that cause you to second-guess yourself, feel, you're kind of torturing yourself about, did I do the right thing? How do I know what the right thing is? You know, all those kinds of things. We want to help you break free of all that self-doubt and even guilt. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. All right, with that, we're going to Alyssa in Minneapolis, Minnesota, listening on Sirius 130. Hey, Alyssa, welcome to Word of Life. What's your question for us?
Hey there.
Hi, Alyssa. What's up?
Oh, my question was regarding discontentment. It's just one of the things I've just struggled with on and off over the years, and I just can't ever seem to get to the bottom of it. So I just wanted your input. How do you combat discontentment, even if there doesn't seem to be any rational reason for it?
Well, what's making you discontent?
I know. I can't even go into it. It's just so silly. I will have random thoughts. I think it's something to do with my expectations for my life, like 15 or 20 years ago, and what my life is like today. And it's great. It's just different. And I have a hard time reconciling the new reality of what, in my idea, my life was supposed to be. So it sounds so silly.
What was your life?
No, it doesn't sound silly at all.
It doesn't sound silly at all.
It sounds like there's something underneath it all that God wants you to handle and maybe either achieve or set to rest.
So let me ask you, what was your life supposed to be like? Just kind of play along here, just for fun. What was your life supposed to be like? Yeah,
so if I think about it, without giving the entire backstory, I grew up in Europe in an idealistic, beautiful nature setting in Switzerland. And when I was 11, we moved to the States. And then as I grew up, I joined the military, married my husband, who was in the military, spent about 10 years traveling all over the country, which was very difficult. Through those years, I always told myself, oh, when we get out of the military, we can, you know, live in the country and raise our kids in a similar way that I grew up, but that's not what's happened, which is just, you know, we have something much better even, but it's just these silly things, like, how do I get past that? It seems so silly, but I still...
Actually, I don't think it's silly.
No, and I think the step one is stop picking on yourself for it, you know, and start recognizing that there's something good at the bottom of this. I mean, I understand what you're saying about, you know, oh, well, my life is so much better than in so many ways than I thought it would be and all that, and I feel silly for holding on to this. But I think that there's something good underneath it that you can get to if you stop picking on yourself and calling yourself silly for having this longing.
And that's the first thing I want to ask you to do, okay, because you're talking about growing up in this idyllic nature setting and you wish you could give your kids that and live in that, but God's put you in a different place. But I want you to spend some time prayerfully reflecting on what were those best moments in your childhood that you wish you could give your kids. I doubt very much that you wish you could live in exactly the same house, in exactly the same place, and maybe there's a little part of you. But I have a feeling that it's probably things like you had some time to slow down. You had some time to be outside in nature. You had some time to connect with the people you love. Only you can really go back to those memories and say, these are the things, the virtues, the experiences I wanted to give my kids and why. Always look at those experiences. What did you want? Usually it means connecting with somebody else, having time to connect with God, having a little bit more peace and order in your life, and sharing that with other people. Look at those things and write those down. And then you really reflect and say, okay, God, how can I put a little piece of this into each of my days? How can I connect more with my children? How can we schedule a time maybe once a month to go somewhere and get some time just outside and have some free time? How can I gear back a little bit less in our schedule so we have time for our kids to just explore? Whatever those things are that really you're saying, I wish we still had a chance to do or have that in our lives. Create that culture in your family life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Elisa's right on target here. And you know, the thing is, when we kind of get caught up in the game you're playing with yourself, we tend to think a little bit too superficially. You know, there's this sort of feeling like, well, I can't move back to Switzerland. That's stupid. That's
and
silly.
And then you feel
I'm
you can't do anything because that would be such a huge shift in life.
But you can find ways to connect more with nature. You can find ways to slow down and reconnect with each other a little bit more. You can kind of ask yourself, all right, if I was living there, you know, in that country setting, how would my life be better? What would I have in it that I'm lacking right now? When you've identified that the answer to that question, then make a plan to get a small taste of that right now. The discontent kind of comes up because I think at some points you feel like you've gotten a little bit too far away from the values that that time in your life represented. Not so much the things that were part of that time in your life,
right,
but the
values. The kind of culture that says, this is where I feel comfortable, this is what I want my children to have. And we can put pieces of those things into our lives as long as we're really thinking about what they were and how we can do that in our present circumstances.
And again, we talk about this whole process of getting at those values. Instead of beating up on ourselves for the things that we want that are silly or even destructive, you know, getting at the values underneath those things so that we can add those healthy elements to our lives by identifying the divine longings behind those silly or even sinful inclinations. In our book, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart. But it basically follows the process we just outlined for you.
And really, I want you to think small, okay? Because I think one of the things that holds a lot of us back, and I think is really holding you back, Elisa, is that you're thinking big. Oh, when I can get out of the armed services, or when this changes, or what, then this thing can happen. If you really look at what those moments of culture, those moments of virtue, those moments of those values that you hold dear in your heart, kind of nestled away. If you look at what those are and say, what's one little thing I can do today? Can I spend 10 minutes taking a walk with my kids outside in the quiet? Can we spend 20 minutes with a candle lit in the living room and just reading a book together so we have that time? Where are those little things that you can make the changes in your day to get those glimpses and begin to change what we call that, you know, culture of the heart or the spirit of your home in your day? I think you will feel you're really making great strides, even with very little steps.
Elisa, hopefully this will get you started. You know, really stop beating up on yourself for wanting those things and reconnect with the values underneath those things and then rebuild in your life little ways to re-experience those values in your current life right now. And I think that's really going to bring a greater degree of contentment in your heart. And again, the book Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart really kind of talks about how to do that process of getting at the divine longings behind those things we tend to criticize ourselves for in terms of the silly or even sinful inclinations we might have. With that, let's take another call. Lisa, who's up next?
Let's talk now with Linda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in San Antonio, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey, Linda, welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Hi. I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I feel like, when I was a child, I went to Catholic school, so I thought I knew everything. And then when my daughter was going to make her first communion, I felt like I had to teach her. And then I realized I didn't know very much. And so now I'm on the opposite end. I'm trying to tell people more stuff. Like if I know someone's going to communion and they haven't been to Mass in a while, I'll tell them, you really shouldn't go. And so it's like I'm constantly preaching. And so then I'm called, Miss Know-It-All, Miss Holy, and stuff like that. So I don't know how to deal with people or how to tone it back. Or I guess I'm kind of sort of arrogant about everything.
Okay. Well, God bless you for being willing to,
sorry,
to look at that.
Very humble of you to admit that you feel like you're arrogant about things.
You know,
that takes a sense of real humility.
And on the one hand, there are some people that just don't want to hear it, and no matter how nice we are about it, and no matter how sensitive we try to be, they're going to come at us with the whole kind of, well, you think you know everything, and you think you're holier than me. And maybe we have to sometimes take that with a grain of salt. But it's a good question that you're asking. And I think the best way to make sure that we're approaching a person with real humility instead of in a preachy, arrogant, know-it-all sort of way is making sure that we don't lead with our mouth, but we lead with our ears. That when we meet somebody and we encounter and we see them struggling, we try to ask them questions that help them or help us understand their life through their eyes and through their experience. Really trying to asking them, you know, where are they coming from? Why do they think what they think? Why do they believe or live what as they do? Really, not in a kind of, why do you do this, sort of, you know, 20 questions interrogation sort of way, but in a genuinely curious spirit that allows you to know their life through their eyes and understand things from their heart. You might not agree with them. You might feel like you know how they could live better. Hold off on that. You know, wait, I like to say, you know, you want to wait to get the invitation to the picnic before you volunteer to bring the potato salad. You know, you want to understand where they're coming from and what their life is. And when they ask you, when they say, you know, you seem to really get me, what do you think I should do about thus and such? Then you can offer your advice. Until then, focus on stepping back and just asking questions that really get to, that help you get to know their heart and help you get to know their story and understand their life from the inside out. When you really do a good job of communicating that to them, they'll ask you for help. They'll ask you for advice. And that's that Holy Spirit moment where he's using your relationship to be an instrument of conversion. But if you kind of lead in there with, you're doing it all wrong, let me tell you what to do the right way. You're trying to be helpful. Your heart's in the right place. But you're always going to get a defensive reaction. Always. And so you have to till the soil before you plant that seed. Okay? And the best way to till that soil is by asking those questions that allow you to really know that person's story from the inside out. That's what Pope Francis talks about when he uses that phrase, or that word, accompaniment.
And one of the ways you can root out sort of what I'm perceiving you're saying is sort of that perception of it coming across as sour is to really praise what's good in the situation. So if you see somebody who's going to Mass after a very long time and you know they should go to confession first, you know that there's a whole line of things that should be in right order, but they're striving to go to Mass for the first time in a long time, and they've told you that, maybe they're even trying to, you know, get some reaction, some affirmation out of you. Do exactly, say, that's wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Tell me why you're going. Tell me what brought you to that decision. Listen then, but affirm first. They're working, you know, some serious courage to make any kind of positive stride. Affirm the positive first. Then if you need to add on later on, you know how you could get a lot more out of that? If you went to confession beforehand, you would really feel closer to God and closer to the Eucharist, and you'd be able to participate entirely in the Mass.
And then you could even tell a story about your own experience of confession and about how going to confession has really opened you up to a greater experience of God's love and when you receive the Eucharist, and how it frees you up to receive all the gifts God wants to give you through the Eucharist. And then you're able to witness to that person. But you're beginning with that more affirming frame that acknowledges the good they're trying to do, but then takes them to the next step that integrates the next pieces of that conversion process.
So look for those moments of grace. Look for where the Holy Spirit is working in their lives and shine light on that above all things.
And as we head out to our break, it's time for another More to Life hack to stop second-guessing yourself, which is expect to build from good enough.
When we second-guess ourselves or get consumed with guilt about the choices we've made, it's often because we worry that we didn't make the one perfect choice out of all the options available. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Instead, focus on building on the good enough choices you've already made to make an even better future.
You know, no decision is perfect, and there's no choice that can't be improved upon. And rather than pressuring yourself to do the one right thing, give yourself permission to assume that whatever you choose, whatever you do, is probably going to need to be revised or improved upon in some way. There's a lot of freedom that comes with that. You know, make the good enough choice and expect to build from there. And trust in God's mercy to fill in the gaps. Give yourself permission to learn, grow, and even make mistakes. Go figure. More to Life will continue on the other side of the break. Give us a call and talk to us about those decisions in your life or relationships that you're second-guessing yourself about, beating yourself up about, or even feeling guilty about because you just weren't sure whether you did the right thing or not. Let's talk through it. and find that confidence to live in God's grace. 877-573-7825. Stick around for more More to Life coming up in a couple of minutes.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The United States Senate is evaluating a nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. As they do their job, we need to do ours and tell our senators that we expect them to carry out a swift and fair confirmation process based on how qualified the nominee is, rather than on partisan politics or smear tactics. Whatever position your senator takes, it is essential that he or she hear from you now. The Senate leadership also needs to hear that you support their efforts. At SupremeCourtVictory.com, Priests for Life has prepared action alerts that give you the instructions you need to communicate with the senators about this Supreme Court confirmation process. Please go there today and call your U.S. senators and the Senate leadership. Let your voice be heard. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today we are talking about getting past that tendency to second-guess yourself, beat yourself up about those complicated decisions in your life or relationships, or even tendency to feel guilty about the decisions you've made in the past because they weren't just right, or you're not sure if they were. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kate, who's listening in South Dakota.
Hi, Kate. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question?
Fine. Thank you for helping, giving me another chance. I'm a first-time smartphone owner, and I pushed the button.
Not a problem. Yeah, we dropped your call a little bit earlier. So thanks for calling back in. What's your question for us?
Thank you. I came back to Catholicism 3 years ago, so I was 37 years away from the Catholic Church. I spent 27 years of those in AA, and they helped me to know that I need to forgive myself. And I'm just would like to say to that young man who was on first, I felt like he did it in a lot, and it seems like he might need help forgive himself. Enough of my advice. Now for myself, I've prayed for answers in the past, and a couple of very difficult situations. Should I marry this man years ago, or maybe? And then a couple of years ago, I bought a travel trailer to travel my old age, and that didn't work out. They both turned out very, very badly for myself. But I know that. But I prayed for God's help to know what if this was the right thing to do or not. I really feel like I didn't get any answer at all to either one of those things.
Okay.
And both turned out very badly. So I think I learned my lesson that the answer was no or something. I don't know. But
okay.
During Lent, I read a chair on contemplative prayer. And I love to go to Eucharistic adoration and felt this would help. So, and when I pray at Mass, when the host is held up, I pray for to know Jesus' will, to understand it, and to do it. But then I don't know how to trust myself.
Okay.
So you're
asking basic questions about discernment. How do I know what God's will is?
Great question.
Yeah, no, terrific questions. And there are lots of different systems for that. The thing that we like to suggest, and then I'll give you some resources to kind of build on this. St. Ignatius of Loyola, you know, said that God talks to us in sort of three basic ways. The first way is he sometimes will beat us over the head with something. He'll say, do this, you know, and we kind of just know that we have to get out of God's way and it's just going to happen. That's pretty rare. That tends to only happen around those big sort of life-altering decisions where God really wants to make sure that we get the right answer. But it does happen. The second way, St. Ignatius said, is where it sort of comes on us, the right answer comes on us like the dawn. You know, we're praying about it, we're reflecting on it, and for one reason or another, one option seems to stand out. We gather information, so we're trying to form our intellect. We're sort of sitting with our feelings, so we're seeing how the Holy Spirit's moving in our hearts. But we're also using our imagination to kind of say, you know, at the end of my life, which of these options will lead me to be more of the person that God wanted me to be? And so we're praying on those three aspects of our experience, our intellect, gathering that information, our heart, and where our heart is leaning, and our ultimate goal of who God's calling us to be and how these decisions can impact that. And the more we sit with it in prayer, the more something where our hearts are inclined to one choice over another. The third way God talks to us is just through our reason. You know, sometimes we don't hear anything, or sometimes our heart isn't inclined that in that more mystical way. Sometimes we just use the power of our reason to say, you know, this is a better choice. And that's not, you know, we tend to think, well, that's just me. How do I know that's not just me instead of God? It's never just you, because God gave you your intellect and your will, and he taught you how to want good things and to pursue truth and goodness and beauty. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be able to choose anything that was true or good or beautiful. And so in those times, God wants us to use the intellect and the will he's given us to make a rational choice about those things. And that isn't just us. That's God leading us to truth, goodness, and beauty. Now, you know, when you say, well, I don't hear anything, or I didn't know what to do, you know, it's all about kind of asking yourself, how can I pursue three qualities in any decision that I have to make? Meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Meaningfulness is another word for self-donation. It's using the gifts God's given you to make a difference in the lives of others. Of the choices that I have available in front of me, which of these options do I think is going to give me the greatest opportunity to make a difference in the lives of the people around me and to become more the person God wants me to be? Intimacy, you know, of the choices I have available to me, what's going to help me draw into healthier and deeper relationships with the people around me? Because God reminds us in Genesis, we weren't made to be alone. And we are to spend this life preparing ourselves to participate in the communion of saints. And we do that by participating in the communion of that we live in with the people around us, by building healthier and deeper relationships. And then finally, that last quality, virtue. How can I choose the option that's going to help me become a stronger, healthier, godlier person? Of the choices I have available to me, what do I think is going to really challenge me to grow into the more of the person God wants me to be? So those three qualities, meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. Even when I'm not hearing God scream at me, I want you to do this, God always wants us to make the choice that we prayerfully believe is going to lead us to greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And sometimes we come to that decision because he, you know, flashes that big neon sign in front of our face. Sometimes he just inclines our heart by that second way that St. Ignatius talks about. And sometimes he enables us to make that choice just by the power of our reason that he gave us and the ability to choose what's true, good, and beautiful. But at all times, we should be oriented toward what is going to lead me to the most meaningful, intimate, or virtuous option that allows me to become the person that God is creating me to be. We talk about this whole process in The Life God Wants You to Have, which you can pick up at CatholicCounselors.com or at AveMariaRadio.net. You can also check out some great work by Father Tim Gallagher, who does a lot of work on spiritual discernment and knowing God's will. He's really the expert on St. Ignatius' model of spiritual discernment, and any of his books are terrific. So that's Father Tim Gallagher. Check that out. Or our book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which you can pick up on our website, CatholicCounselors.com, or at AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks so much for the call, Kate. We appreciate you giving us the opportunity to kind of respond to that confusion that we all have about how do I know what God's will is? You know, it doesn't have to be as complicated as we make it, as long as we have some basic principles to guide us. And St. Ignatius gives a wonderful system for doing that, and we talk more about that in The Life God Wants You to Have, to kind of build on that and really focus us on the meaningful, intimate, and virtuous options that are available to us. That's all the time we've got for today's program, folks. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us and allowing us to walk with you on this part of your journey. If there's more we can do to help you out, don't hesitate to come on over to our place at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can check out all the resources we've got, including the books and resources we mentioned on today's program, and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, CatholicCounselors.com, or call 740-266-6461 to make an appointment to speak with a counselor. God bless, folks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.